Chapter 7. Only a very little indeed, so that it comes as a relief to his misery, not as adding to his happiness. ... It is being too clever, all this, and we ought to be harmless as doves. ... Ah, Piketty. To continue harmless as a dove you must be wise as a serpent. You'll find a 10 serpents, for that matter. ... But if I cannot get at him, how can I manage him in these ways you speak of? ... Get at him? I suppose he gets at you in some way, does he not? Tries to see you, or to be near you. ... No, that's just the point. He doesn't do any such thing, and there's the worry of it. ... Well, what a silly girl. Then he is not your lover at all? ... Perhaps he's not. But I am his, at any rate twice over. ... That's no use. Supply the love for both sides? Why, it's worse than furnishing money for both. You don't suppose a man will give his heart in exchange for a woman's, when he has already got hers for nothing? That's not the way old Adam does business at all. ... Piketty sighed. Have you got a young man too, Berta? ... A young man? ... A lover, I mean, that's what we call him down here. ... It is difficult to explain, said Ethelberta evasively. I knew one many years ago, and I have seen him again, and that is all. ... According to my idea you have one, but according to your own you have not. He does not love you, but you love him, is that how it is? ... I have not quite considered how it is. ... Do you love him? ... I have never seen a man I hate less. ... A great deal lies covered up there, I expect. ... He was in that carriage which drove over the hill at the moment we met here. ... Some great lord, or another who has his day by candlelight, and so on. I guess the style. Somebody who no more knows how much bread is a loaf than I do the price of diamonds and pearls. ... I am afraid he's only a commoner as yet, and not a very great one either. But surely you guess, Piketty? But I'll set you an example of frankness by telling his name. My friend, Mr. Julian, to whom you posted the book. Such changes as he has seen. From affluence to poverty. He and his sister have been playing dances all night at Windway. What is the matter? ... Only a pain. ... My dear Piketty, I think I'll sit down for a moment, Berta. ... What, have you overwalked yourself, dear? ... Yes, and I got up very early, you see. ... I hope you are not going to be ill, child. You look as if you ought not to be here. ... Oh, it is quite trifling. Does not getting up in a hurry cause a sense of faintness sometimes? ... Yes, in people who are not strong. ... If we don't talk about being faint, it will go off. Faintness is such a queer thing, that to think of it is to have it. Let us talk as we were talking before about your young man and other indifferent matters, so as to divert my thoughts from fainting, dear Berta. I have always thought the book was to be forwarded to that gentleman, because he was a connection of yours by marriage, and he had asked for it. And so you have met this Mr. Julian, and gone for walks with him in evenings, I suppose, just as young men and women do who are courting? ... No, indeed, what an absurd child you are. ... Said Ethelberta. I knew him once, and he is interesting. A few little things like that make it all up. ... The love is all on one side, as with me. ... Oh no, no. There is nothing like that. I am not attached to anyone, strictly speaking though, more strictly speaking, I am not unattached. ... 'Tis a delightful middle mind to be in. I know it, for I was like it once, but I had scarcely been so long enough to know where I was before I was gone past. ... You should have commanded yourself, or drawn back entirely. For let me tell you that at the beginning of caring for a man, just when you are suspended between thinking and feeling, there is a hair's breadth of time at which the question of getting into love or not getting in is a matter of will, quite a thing of choice. At the same time, drawing back is a tame dance, and the best of all is to stay balanced a while. ... You do that well, I'll warrant. ... Well, no, for what between continually wanting to love, to escape the blank lives of those who do not, and wanting not to love, to keep out of the miseries of those who do, I get foolishly warm and foolishly cold by turns. ... Yes, and I am like you as far as the foolishly goes. I wish we poor girls could contrive to bring a little wisdom into our love by way of a change. ... That's the very thing that leading minds in town have begun to do, but there are difficulties. It is easy to love wisely, but the rich man may not marry you, and it is not very hard to reject wisely, but the poor man doesn't care. Altogether it is a precious problem. But shall we clamber out upon those shining blocks of rock, and find some of the little yellow shells that are in the crevices? I have 10 minutes longer, and then I must go. ... 7. The dining room of a townhouse, the butler's pantry. A few weeks later there was a friendly dinner party at the house of a gentleman called Duncastle, who lived in a moderately fashionable square of West London. All the friends and relatives present were nice people, who exhibited becoming signs of pleasure and gaiety at being there, but as regards the vigor with which these emotions were expressed, it may be stated that a slight laugh from far down the throat, and a slight narrowing of the eye, were equivalent as indices of the degree of mirth felt to a ha ha ha, and a shaking of the shoulders among the minor traders of the kingdom, and to a ho ho ho, contorted features, purple face, and stamping foot among the gentlemen in corduroy and fustian who adorn the remoter provinces. The conversation was chiefly about a volume of musical, tender, and humorous rhapsodies lately issued to the world in the guise of verse, which had been reviewed and talked about everywhere. This topic, beginning as a private dialogue between a young painter named Ladywell and the lady on his right hand, had enlarged its ground by degrees, as a subject will extend on those rare occasions when it happens to be one about which each person has thought something beforehand, instead of, as in the natural order of things, one to which the oblivious listener replies mechanically, with earnest features, but with thoughts far away. And so the whole table made the matter a thing to inquire or reply upon at once, and isolated rills of other chat died out like a river in the sands. Witty things, and occasionally anacreontic. And they have the originality which such a style must naturally possess when carried out by a feminine hand, said Ladywell. If it is a feminine hand, said a man near. Ladywell looked as if he sometimes knew secrets, though he did not wish to boast. Written, I presume you mean, in the anacreontic measure of 3 feet, and a half spondees and iambics? Said a gentleman in spectacles, glancing round, and giving emphasis to his inquiry by causing bland glares of a circular shape to proceed from his glasses towards the person interrogated. The company appeared willing to give consideration to the words of a man who knew such things as that, and hung forward to listen. But Ladywell stopped the whole current of affairs in that direction by saying, "Oh no, I was speaking rather of the matter and tone. In fact, the 7 days review said they were anacreontic, you know, and so they are anyone may feel they are." The general look then implied a false encouragement, and the man in spectacles looked down again, being a nervous person, who never had time to show his merits, because he was so much occupied in hiding his faults. "Do you know the authoress, Mr. Ney?" continued Ladywell. can't say that I do, apostrophe he replied. Nay was a man who never disturbed the flesh upon his face except when he was obliged to do so, and paused 10 seconds, where other people only paused 1. As he moved his chin in speaking, motes of light from under the candle shade caught, lost, and caught again the outlying threads of his burnished beard. She will be famous someday, and you ought at any rate to read her book. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, I ought, I know. In fact, some years ago I should have done it immediately, because I had a reason for pushing on that way just then. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, what was that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, I thought of going in for Westminster Abbey myself at that time, but a fellow has so much to do, and apostrophe, what a pity that you didn't follow it up. A man of your powers, Mr. Nay apostrophe, afterwards I found I was too steady for it, and had too much of the respectable householder in me. Besides, so many other men are on the same tack, and then I didn't care about it, somehow. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't understand high art, and am utterly in the dark on what are the true laws of criticism. Apostrophe, a plain married lady, who wore archaeological jewelry, was saying at this time. But I know that I have derived an unusual amount of amusement from those verses, and I am heartily thankful to for them. Apostrophe, I am afraid, apostrophe said a gentleman who was suffering from a bad shirt front, that an estimate which depends upon feeling in that way is not to be trusted as permanent opinion. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the subject now flitted to the other end. Somebody has it that, when the heart flies out before the understanding, it saves the judgment a world of pains, apostrophe came from a voice in that quarter. I, for my part, like something merry, apostrophe said an elderly woman, whose face was bisected by the edge of a shadow, which toned her forehead and eyelids to a livid neutral tint, and left her cheeks and mouth like metal at a white heat in the uninterrupted light. I think the liveliness of those ballads as great a recommendation as any. After all, enough misery is known to us by our experiences and those of our friends, and what we see in the newspapers, for all purposes of chastening, without having gratuitous grief inflicted upon us. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but you would not have wished that Romeo and Juliet should have ended happily, or that Othello should have discovered the perfidy of his ancient in time to prevent all fatal consequences. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am not afraid to go so far as that, apostrophe said the old lady. Shakespeare is not everybody, and I am sure that thousands of people who have seen those plays would have driven home more cheerfully afterwards, if by some contrivance the characters could all have been joined together respectively. I uphold our anonymous author on the general ground of her levity. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, it is an old and worn argument that about the inexpedience of tragedy, and much may be said on both sides. It is not to be denied that the anonymous Sappho's verses, for it seems that she is really a woman, are clever. Apostrophe, apostrophe, clever. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Lady Well, the young man who had been one of the shooting party at Sandburn, they are marvelously brilliant. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she is rather warm in her assumed character. Apostrophe, apostrophe, that's a sign of her actual coldness. She lets off her feeling in theoretic grooves, and there is sure to be none left for practical ones. Whatever seems to be the most prominent vice, or the most prominent virtue in anybody's writing is the one thing you are safest from in personal dealings with the writer. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, I don't mean to call her warmth of feeling a vice, or virtue exactly, apostrophe, I agree with you, apostrophe said nay to the last speaker but one, in tones as emphatic as they possibly could be without losing their proper character of indifference to the whole matter. Warm sentiment of any sort, whenever we have it, disturbs us too much to leave us repose enough for writing it down. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am sure, when I was at the ardent age, apostrophe said the mistress of the house, in a tone of pleasantly agreeing with everyone, particularly those who were diametrically opposed to each other, I could no more have printed such emotions and made them public than I could have helped privately feeling them. I wonder if S.E. has gone through half she says? If so, what an experience. Oh no, not at all likely, said Mr. Nay. It is as risky to calculate people's ways of living from their writings as their incomes from their way of living. She is as true to nature as fashion is false, said the painter, in his warmth becoming scarcely complimentary, as sometimes happens with young persons. I don't think that S.E. has written a word more than what every woman would deny feeling in a society where no woman says what she means or does what she says. And can any praise be greater than that? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.